We are back on the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Lindsay Patterson alongside the Cincinnati Inquirer beat writer Tyler Dragon, our guy Charlie Goldsmith. You can find their work over on Cincinnati.com. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. Just got done watching another Bengals practice. It was their first practice since the scrimmage. They were in full pads. It was kind of hot outside today. It was really humid. I was sweating like I was on the field, but I'm inside and the air conditioning, so I'm feeling much better than I was there baking in the sun all afternoon today.
It's definitely been a muggy week. Usually, sometimes it's like 90 degrees here during August in the summer. It hasn't been that bad, but it's been muggy enough to where it's been tough outside.
Like you mentioned, Tyler, you just got off the scrimmage. Some of the players are returning. AJ Green is still sidelined right now. In case any fans have missed the last couple practices, what has been happening?
Yeah, well, the scrimmage, the offense performed really well, especially Joe Burrow. He started off 8 for 8 in his first NFL scrimmage, and he finished 13 of 19 passing with 2 touchdown passes. Both of those went to Auden Tate, who is also having an exceptional training camp. Joe Burrow and Auden Tate are really building a rapport together. But today, their first practice since the scrimmage, the defense responded well, and it was mainly behind Carlos Dunlap. He's been dominant during training camp. Today alone, he had a sack. He tackled Joe Mixon in the backfield one time on an outside run, and then he had a pass deflection that led to a Winston Rose interception. And this is coming off a week in which he had 2 interceptions during training camp. So Carlos Dunlap has been my defensive MVP of training camp so far. But overall, I like what the Bengals are doing. They are running the ball a lot. They're calling a lot of run plays during 11-on-11, which they need to do. They want to start off fast running the football with Joe Mixon. On the defensive side, the defensive line is really performing well. They're creating a push up there. DJ Reader, Carlos Dunlap, as I mentioned, Geno Atkins, he's been good on one-on-ones and also during 11-on-11s. So I like what I see so far from the defensive line during these training camp practices. And also, you know, Joe Burrow, he's been up and down, but for the most part, he's been up. I know everybody wants to talk about Joe Burrow. And that his first scrimmage, that really caught everyone's attention because he started off hot and he maintained that level throughout the scrimmage. But today the defense bounced back definitely, and they won the day overall during 11-on-11 drills.
And when Joe Burrow has really been connecting, he's been doing it with whatever receivers have been out there with him. We still haven't really seen him do a ton with A.J. Green or T. Higgins, but on different days – we've seen different receivers really, you know, being the star of the day. Tyler Boyd has been the constant throughout. Burrow praised how easy it has been to build a rapport with him. But then in the scrimmage, we saw Auden Tate breaking out. Other days, we've seen Mike Thomas being extremely productive. During the scrimmage, Burrow was using the tight ends frequently. And again, there's so many moving parts on the offense because of different players who haven't been around. And Burrow generally has been, you know, interacting with all of them on the field in a positive way so far.
I think what's really telling about Joe Burrow was one of his mistakes last week. We had the chance to talk to vet linebacker that they brought in, free agency, Josh Bynes. Again, I've talked to people with Bynes, and they say he's just a great leader to have in the linebacker room. Josh Bynes told us in a media press conference that after the interception, Joe Burrow came over to him, and he asked what he saw during that play when it became an interception. And Josh was really blown away by it. And the follow-up question was, did anybody ever do that to you in your career? And he said, no rookie has ever come up to me, even in scrimmage or anything, to say, hey, what did you see during that play? So he knows next time when he's throwing the ball. And I thought that was one of the biggest things from Joe Burrow, just being a rookie. And we hear from a lot of the guys who are out there, who bets on the team, who say, I wouldn't look at this guy as a rookie with the way he's leading on and off the field and obviously looking okay so far in scrimmage number one. But as you mentioned, Charlie, he's getting some weapons back right now. AJ Green is currently sidelined. We'll get to that in just a moment. T. Higgins is back right now. Anna Tate has stepped up, Tyler Boyd. What does it mean to have T. Higgins back out there, guys?
Yeah, right now T. Higgins is practicing with the second unit, but he gives Burrow another target. He has a big catch radius, similar to Auden Tate. You know, he's very good after the catch. Once he gets the ball in his hands, Joe Burrow actually hit him on a pass today, which was a successful game. So, you know, the Bengals are working him in back slowly. Because he had that nagging hamstring injury and they don't want it to linger on. But, you know, they do expect him to contribute right away this year. And the goal for him is to be 100% in full go by week one. And that's what he and the Bengals are both targeting. And today was a good positive step for him because this was the day that he actually ramped up team activities, and he was out there during 11-on-11 with full pads, running routes crisp and catching passes.
So we forget because, you know, there is a chance that Higgins ends up as this team's fifth receiver this season behind Green, Boyd, Ross, and Tate. We forget that Higgins was the first pick of the second round, someone with a first-round grade. And when you draft a rookie quarterback and give them such a prominent wide receiver, that's a connection the Bengals are relying on for, you know, the ideally as long as Joe Burrow is the Bengals quarterback. Something that Burrow mentioned was, you know, maybe this could be the AJ Andy Dalton relationship that we saw with Higgins and with Burrow. So now it's just about working Higgins back. But there is a lot of long-term upside between that relationship as well. You know, which we're just seeing start form.
Yeah, the Bengals, they have a crowded receiver room once everybody's healthy, and they're going to have some decisions to make. You know, they traveled last year seven receivers, if you're going to count A.J. Green. So, you know, right now, if Green's healthy, he's obviously receiver one. You got Tyler Boyd, John Ross, who came back today, Tate, Higgins. Don't forget about Mike Thomas, who's having a stellar training camp. And then you have Alex Erickson, who is a reliable receiver, but also is a special teams contributor and can handle punt return and kick return duty. So the Bengals, they have a lot of decisions to make on the back end of the roster with a receiver because, you know, you still have Stanley Morgan out there, and you have other receivers that, you know, are vying for a roster spot. So some tough decisions to make at receiver and the back end of that depth chart.
We'll get to roster decisions in the next couple of weeks, but you mentioned Alex Erickson, and I think he finds a way to stay on this 53 man. I think you use him like we've seen in the last couple of seasons on special teams, and I think he's just another added depth piece because we don't know what the health is going to look like for AJ Green and a guy like John Ross. And with John Ross speaking to us today, I'm blown away anytime we talk to John Ross. I know that you can look at his time in the NFL and say it's pretty much a disappointment. I know some people call it a bust, but he's had a lot of injuries and he talked about it. But he's been dealing with a lot just this past week when he had to go home. And what he told us today, I was just blown away. He also talked about that fifth-year option. And he's like, I wouldn't have picked it up either. You know, it guarantees injuries. I'm injured every single year. John Ross realizes, I got to stay healthy to get paid. You could look at AJ Green and say the same thing. I know he signed a franchise tag. But with John Ross, he's looking at his future in the NFL. And I still think he can be a great receiver. Had the chance to talk to TJ Houshmandzadeh back during draft week before they got Joe Burrow. And he had been working with John Ross out in California and Joe Burrow. And he told me, he said, that's the one thing that he's missing is his confidence. If John Ross gets his confidence, he's a different game player.
You know, with John, he's from the area I'm from. We worked out yesterday, hadn't worked out in a couple weeks because, you know, the coronavirus had me really nervous. So we kind of took a 2-week break. Physically, man, the dude is so – and people that know football, he is physically very, very talented. I mean, he's fast. He's quick. He can decelerate. He can do everything. Now, for John is, number one, he has to stay healthy. Number two, he has to believe that he is what I just said he is. And people think because – you're a professional athlete, that you have that self-belief. And I give an analogy to my guys. I said, when the pretty girl walks in the club or she walk wherever she goes, she knows she's pretty and she knows everybody is staring at her. At least all the guys are. And I said, that's how you have to approach your game, Ross, is you're the pretty girl that just walked into the club and you know everybody wants to buy you a drink, you know everybody wants to talk to you, you know everybody wants to get to know you because you have that type of talent. And a lot of times he doesn't have that belief in himself. And so if he can get to that point and stay healthy physically, he can do whatever. Like, it's unbelievable how – I tell him all the time, if I had his physical talent, I'd probably be one of the best receivers that have ever played.
So do you think it was a little bit of kind of what happened in his rookie year and maybe just losing a little bit of confidence?
Oh, 100%. Go back to his rookie year. It just so happened that the Bengals flew us out there. Myself, Chad, Willie Anderson, it was honoring the best players in team history. And so what a coincidence. We get out there. His first touch ever, it was a reverse. He fumbled the ball. I don't know if people remember that. He fumbled it. He didn't play again. I don't care who you are. When your coaches show you, they don't have to tell you. When they show you they don't believe in you, it's human nature. You're going to feel like I'm not good enough. God, I'm practicing well. I'm killing guys in practice. I'm not getting a chance to show it in the game. And so you start to think, damn, am I really not that good? It can be the pretty girl. Nobody really wants to talk to you. You think you're pretty, but are you really that pretty if nobody's interested? And so you start to lose that confidence. And I believe that's what happened. And so working with me is physically we're going to get better, but mentally we got to lock in and realize the type of talent you have, because I know for a fact your first touch in the league – and then you don't play again, that's going to have an effect on you mentally.
And when you heard him today, Tyler, just him talk about how he felt different this year, you know, he's not feeling like he's missing anything. He's back there with the wide receivers, and he really wants to have himself a season because he wants to prove to people what he can do in the NFL. What did you think about Ross today?
Yeah, you know, when he was talking about his confidence, you know, I was really all ears, because confidence is half the battle with all athletes. If you're lacking confidence, it's going to affect you on the field. So him at training camp and at practice, feeling confident, feeling sure of himself and his abilities, that should translate to success on the field. And, you know, with him, the biggest thing aside from confidence, as you just said, is injuries. He's only played in 50% of the Bengals games since being drafted by the team. And last year, we all know he had that, you know, scary shoulder injury and missed half of the season. So if he can stay healthy, he has proven in limited time on the field that he can be the vertical threat that this team needs. Entering week four of last season, he was leading the National Football League in receiving yards. So he is an explosive receiver if he can stay on the field, and that is a big if. You know, aside from being fast, you know, he does have a small frame. So, you know, that's why sometimes he's injury prone, because he really can't take some of those hits. So if he can just evade the injury bug and stay on the field, you like his chances getting another contract. Now, I don't know if that's going to be with the Bengals, but, you know, teams really like the ability to for receivers who can stretch the field, explosive receivers, and John Ross is that. It's just those injuries, those nagging injuries that have plagued his career, from shoulder to groin injuries. It's just been constant in his career, and that's the only thing that's been constant in his career, unfortunately for him. But if he can stay healthy, I am sure that he'll prove that he was worthy of that first-round billing that the Bengals picked him as, because he is one of the fastest receivers in the National Football League. We all know that. And he proved in a short sample size that he can be one of the best deep threats in the league. And we saw that through 3 weeks of last season.
So John Ross is a very specific type of wide receiver. I think there are two things he does best. As Tyler mentioned, one of them is being a deep threat, and another is with his elite speed, you can get him the ball in creative ways out of the backfield, reverses, things like that. Neither of those things are something you really practice during the first 2-3 weeks of training camp. You know, we've seen with Joe Burrow, he hasn't been, you know, throwing the 50-yard passes yet. That's something he said you build up to. And then those more niche, you know, gadget plays that you might involve John Ross in, you know, they don't, you know, reveal all of those yet at this point of the season either. So he's in a difficult situation because right now in training camp, he doesn't get the opportunity to, you know, prove and show that consistently on a daily basis now that he's back. With him, what it'll come down to is, you know, he's not going to catch a 50-yard touchdown every game. There are going to be 4 or 5 or 6 moments where his virtually entire career is going to come down to this season. Whether he can break, you know, break one run for 60 yards, break one, you know, deep reception for a touchdown. If he can get 10, 11 of those moments this season, then he's done it. He's proved himself. If he has, you know, that kind of production this year, which is what he did the first 3 weeks of last year. Now he's getting back. We're seeing where he's at. But it's going to be a very interesting season, looking for very specific moments from John Ross.
And speaking of health, I mean, we look at a guy like A.J. Green. It's crazy to think Zach Taylor's had more time with A.J. Green in 2020 than ever before, even with this odd offseason that we were dealing with. At this moment, A.J. Green during training camp, I saw him today. He's obviously sidelined right now, but the Bengals told us they're being cautious with him. He went over to his wide receiver group, so he's still around the guys. He's chatting them up, giving advice to T. Higgins and the others in the group. For me personally, I know what A.J. Green does. I know he's coming off an injury, and I know he you know, tweaked his hamstring, and they're taking it easy with him and slowly getting him back out there on the field. I know he needs the reps when there's no preseason games, but I don't see the rush in getting him out there in the next 3 weeks. You know, maybe a couple training sessions, some walkthroughs before the regular season opener. Nobody's saying A.J. Green has to be full go week one if you have John Ross healthy, if you have a guy like Tyler Boyd and Auden Tate. We already mentioned the relationship that those two receivers are already building with Joe Burrow. T. Higgins said it today. He said, you know, he's been watching Auden Tate since he was at Florida State. Every time Joe throws him the ball, Auden always catches it. So I look at A.J. Green and I think of his reps, and maybe week one and week two, you're slowly getting him back out there. Obviously, he's a game changer. I would love for Tyler Boyd, who has quietly had 2 back-to-back good seasons, but he's had to be the number one guy. Even Auden Tate stepped up last season, but he got hurt. I would love to see a healthy A.J. Green in that offense for Tyler Boyd and the other receivers. But for me personally, I don't see the rush in pushing A.J. Green back out there. I'm cool with them saying, you know what, we're going to wait till week one. But what do you guys think they should do?
I think that if he's healthy enough, the Bengals should get him out there with full pads and just really monitor his reps. Now, Zach Taylor said right after A.J. Green got injured that they were going to be extremely precautious with him. And so I do agree with that, but you have to keep in mind that this guy has been out of football since pretty much December 2018. That was his last game. And so you need to give him an opportunity to get acclimated again and get comfortable putting on those pads and running routes. Now, he doesn't have to take hits. He doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be real physical. But you just want to get his body and get his muscle memory going again, just used to playing in full pads again, because you just don't want to throw him out there week one against the Los Angeles Chargers and then week two and just say, hey, you know, it's full go now after you didn't participate in training camp, a year removed from not even playing at all. So I see what you're saying, and you don't really need to see A.J. Green, but – I think you can proceed with caution with him, but also limit the amount of reps he's getting during training camp if he's healthy. Right now, his hamstring is still a little bit tight, so he's not practicing right now. But I do expect before week one that A.J. Green will be out there and he will get at least a couple full pad practices in before they play the Los Angeles Chargers at Paul Brown Stadium.
Let me get this out of the way first. There's nothing for AJ Green to prove this preseason. He's going to have the chance to prove what he needs to prove during the regular season. Now I'm going to say something I said on our last podcast as well. There's obviously concern with AJ Green because Tyler Boyd's out there and Auden Tate's out there. And if there was no concern, then AJ Green would be out there as well. Now, bouncing off something that Lindsey said, you know, about, you know, easing him into the season. I think that while none of us are predicting the Bengals will make the playoffs this season, it sends such the wrong message if you ease AJ Green back into the season like you would, I don't know, ease a star MLB pitcher back from a Tommy John surgery, pitching him only three innings. That clearly sends a message that we are not doing everything we can to make the playoffs. Now, again, while that's not something we're predicting, that is something that the Bengals as an organization strive to do. So I do think that there should be some sense of urgency as long as it's not putting AJ Green further at risk in the moment to make sure that he is as ready as possible for week one.
When it comes
to – Sorry, Lindsey. Even though AJ Green is not practicing, he is spending time after practice rehabbing his – hamstring and doing workouts following practice. So he is, you know, doing everything necessary to return to the field. It's just still his hamstring is nagging him a little bit and it's just still a little bit tight.
Let me say this as well real quick. If there's one thing we know about AJ Green is that he is one of the hardest and most diligent athletes on the Bengals and honestly in the NFL, in my opinion. That's not the issue now. The issue is if this precautionary measures continues for 2-3 weeks heading into week one of the regular season, that's when it becomes something that I'm more concerned about.
When should fans get concerned? I mean, like Charlie mentioned, in the next couple of weeks, if you're not seeing him out there and say he's absent the first week, we hear right now the Bengals are taking it easy. Zach Taylor told us that last week. But at some point, he has to, you know, be available, or they have to say, you know, it's a little more than we thought. Is there any more with the injury that we should know about right now, Tyler?
Well, fans were concerned a week ago. I would not be too concerned with the injury. Now, I would be aware and cautiously optimistic. I'll say that. Now, I would be cautiously optimistic because it's not a bad injury. And I'm big on body language. When AJ Green injured his ankle at day one of training camp last year, his body language was all bad. He knew that it was a terrible injury. He knew that he was going to be out for a while. This time around with his hamstring, he's, you know, still at practice. He's cheering on his teammates. You know, he's high-fiving when receivers make a good play. He's engaged. And, you know, he's still working out after practice, on the practice field, and rehabbing that hamstring. So, and every word out of practice from Zach Taylor to the players to even AJ Green, it's not that serious. So I'm going to take them at their word for now. But if this keeps on lingering – another week and a week after that, and we're getting closer to, you know, week one, September 13th against the Los Angeles Chargers, and AJ Green is still rehabbing this hamstring, then I'm going to be concerned because you don't want to throw a guy out there when he hasn't practiced. So then, to me, that would indicate that his hamstring is worse than what they were letting on. But right now, from looking at AJ Green, and, you know, just examining his body language on and off the field, he seems as though that, you know, his hamstring is not all that bad. And like Zach Taylor said, they're just being extremely precautious with him because he's had a string of injuries as of late. And you want to have your star receiver on the field when it counts, because we saw it last year. Zach Taylor's 11 personnel offense, it was missing a huge void without AJ Green. You need one of those outside number one receivers in that 11 personnel offense. And last year with Andy Dalton, his only reliable receiver was Tyler Boyd. He literally keyed in on Tyler Boyd all the time. And so this year with a rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow, he's going to need all the weapons that the Bengals have for him to be successful. You already have a stud running back in Joe Mixon. You know what you have in Tyler Boyd, but you need that outside receiver, one that can is a game breaker, one that can beat one-on-one coverage. And you're going to need A.J. Green out there for that 11 personnel offense to run effectively.
I do want to reiterate something that Tyler said, is that the Bengals and A.J. Green have been optimistic this entire time. And obviously they know everything compared to us, because, you know, we're not in the room with A.J. Green, with the medical trainers. Now, answering Lindsay's question, if we get into the last week before week one against the Chargers and A.J. Green is still not out there, as rushed as this offseason has felt, if you're throwing in A.J. Green in that last week, in that pregame week, and installing a game plan versus the Chargers at the same time, that's a point where I do think there is a lot going on at the same time, which makes it a little more difficult to make that addition to the offense after a full preseason with A.J. Green not being there. I guess we'll see what happens.
One of the questions I always get on social media, and I was talking to Tyler about it at training camp today, how is Fred Johnson looking, and is he getting first-team reps out there? Tyler, I'll let you go ahead and answer that one.
Well, I know fans don't want to hear this, but Fred Johnson has not received any first-team reps at right tackle or obviously left tackle. Bobby Hart has been taking all the first-team reps at right tackle, and we all know 2019 first-round pick Jonah Williams is taking all the first-team reps at left tackle. As far Fred Johnson, I've seen him take second-team reps at left tackle and second-team reps at right tackle. So he's been at both tackle positions with the second team, and I feel as though the Bengals are comfortable with him taking that second unit spot at that either right tackle or left tackle position. So right now, Bobby Hart is the clear leader in the clubhouse at that right tackle position. And, you know, he's had a decent training camp. I wouldn't say it's been great, but it's been decent. He had a false start during the scrimmage last week, and we all know he was the Bengals' most penalized offensive lineman. And Bengals fans, I get it all the time. They're very frustrated with Bobby Hart. But the Bengals, they are comfortable with him at that right tackle spot. And Fred Johnson's right now, he's at that number two right tackle spot right behind him.
And I think it is very telling that Fred is playing right and left tackle so far in training camp. It's really analogous to what Billy Price is doing. Price is lining up at center and also at guard. The Bengals see him as a, you know, in a utility role, someone who can fill in and provide, you know, close to starter level quality should something happen to one of the entrenched starters. We knew that about Billy Price heading into training camp. Now it seems that we know that about Fred Johnson as well, because they're using the two of them very similarly in their reps in the preseason.
I think if you wanted some optimism when you look at that offensive line, you look at a guy who didn't play at all last season in Jonah Williams. A lot of people question it. Is he going to be okay in his first year in the NFL? You know, he's battling an injury all of last season. How's he going to look? We don't know what he's going to look like in an NFL game. He doesn't have any preseason games, but he's looked okay in training camp so far, Tyler.
Yeah, I posted a video of a one-on-one with Jonah Williams and Sam Hubbard. And Jonah actually won that battle, and this got a lot of views on it. So check out my Twitter to see the video. He's been doing well. And I remember specifically during the scrimmage, it was an outside run with a Samaje Perine, and Jonah Williams had a clear out block, and it just led to green grass for Samaje, and he scored a touchdown. Jonah Williams, the team really likes how he's performed. He's a student in the classroom, and it comes out on the field. You don't have to tell him the same thing twice. He's a smart, cerebral player. He uses his hands well. He has good technique. And they believe he's going to be an anchor out there on the left side at that tackle position. And, you know, the Bengals definitely need one because they haven't had one since Andrew Whitworth. So Jonah Williams performs like that number one first-round pick that the Bengals used on him. They're going to have a major upgrade in that offensive line. We all know that they certainly need upgrading on that offensive line, and they believe Jonah Williams and Xavier Suofilo will provide that this year for the team.
I think Michael Jordan's looked solid as well. He's gone up a ton against Geno Atkins, and he's had his ups and downs, but overall he's looked pretty solid. That left side of the offensive line with Williams, Jordan, and then Trey Hopkins, who the franchise clearly believes in, having handing him an extension recently, that seems to be, you know, kind of a pathway for Joe Mixon this year. Something that, you know, you can feel kind of confident that the Bengals more often than not will have the advantage that on that side of the field, more of an advantage definitely than they had last season.
I can't believe I'm going to say this on the podcast because I jokingly said it to Tyler at training camp today. Here's my hot take for the season before it begins in regular season. I think the offensive line is going to be okay. And we will remember this episode forever because if they don't perform well, we'll remember when we recorded this and I said that the offensive line was going to be okay this season. But I do. I think last year – what were you going to say, Tyler?
Okay, so what is your definition of okay? I mean, is okay like a C-level grade? Is okay a B? I mean, okay is not an A. We know that. So is okay average? Like, what is okay to you?
I'd say a B minus because obviously they're going to have consistency. You have a guy like Trey Hopkins at center. You get the left tackle and Jonah Williams, Michael Jordan out there. I know all eyes are pointing at Bobby Hart right now, but at the same time I think you get that chemistry together and what you've had in the last couple of weeks with this offensive line, I feel like they're going to be okay. And they, you look at the last half of last season, go to profootballfocus.com, this team started to perform well. The offensive line was more consistent. We started to see that in the second half of the season. Joe Mixon was able to run the ball. I think they're gonna be, I mean, the first time Joe Burrow gets sacked, everyone's going to be like, Lindsay, you said the offensive line was going to be okay. Like, is he going to get sacked this season? Probably. I'll say he'll get sacked a couple times. I'm not going to put a number on it right now. But I think that the offensive line will be okay. I think consistency is the biggest thing and them gaining that chemistry. I've mentioned it on this podcast before. Trey Hopkins told me regular season last year, game one, it's just it would be nice to have some consistency in the offensive line. And unfortunately, they couldn't do that because they were dealing with that Cordy Glenn soap opera last season that they won't have to deal with this year because they have a guy in Jonah Williams who's already stepping up, and he's not looking like a rookie himself either. So that's to be determined, but I'll say they'll look okay going into the 2020 season.
It's not hard to improve from rock bottom because they were one of the worst units last year. They allowed 48 sacks. They could not run block until the latter portion of the season. So run blocking and pass blocking, if you can't do that as an offensive lineman and an offensive line group, then it's a pretty bad, a dire situation. To their credit, they improved towards the end of the season, as you mentioned. So hopefully for the Bengals' sake and for Joe Burrow's sake, they can build on what they did at the end of last season.
So I'd completely forgotten. So a minute ago, I looked up the Bengals post-2019 draft depth chart. After the 2019 draft, here were the guys the Bengals were planning to start. Cordy Glenn at left tackle, Clint Bowling at right tackle, Billy Price at center, Alex Redmond at right guard, Jonah Williams at right tackle. Basically, none of those guys started for the Bengals last season. And none of them started in their designated position. You know, the only one who really played was Billy Price, but not even at center. So at least this year, the Bengals have constructed an offensive line that will actually play those positions when the season started. That is a step in the right direction.
You can only go up. You can only go up for the 2020 offensive line for the Cincinnati Bengals. But we get back to training camp this week. We'll have more on Cincinnati.com. Tyler always has his notebooks.
John Ross was really candid today after practice, his first practice after taking care of his son and his son's mother in L.A. So I have a story up about him. And I'll have more stories up later this week on William Jackson III. And also T. Higgins.
And I'll have a story up on Logan Wilson this week.
Check it out, Cincinnati.com. We'll have two more podcasts coming out later this week. Thanks for listening to the Bengals Beat Podcast.